This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
At 11:03, back on the Fan, BT and Sal Show. Brandon, Tierney, Sal, Licata. We'll get back to these Yankee calls, and we'll squeeze in some Met things as well. Let's face it, it's here. We got through the long slumber of winter. Baseball's upon us. But before we get back to the calls, Moose,
yeah,
little Nick action. So, all right, the positive and then the fear. I mean, so, you know, I was thinking about this over the weekend, too. The Knicks are going into tonight's game against the Pistons, and as long as the Knicks are locked in, which they always are with Thibs, they should just mop the floor with this team. They're 42-28. They got 12 games to go. They're going to be favored. I looked at all of them. Probably 7 or 8 of the remaining 12. Play the Bulls a couple times, Pistons, Raptors, Nets. So they're going to crank out a bunch more wins. And right now, they're a half a game behind the Cavaliers for that third spot, but also right behind them at a 5-hole Orlando, so it's still tenuous. But this has been an amazing Knicks season. It really has.
Fantastic.
It's been fun. It's been wildly unpredictable. It's also been very frustrating because, let's face it, if Randall and Mitch to a lesser extent, and obviously OG, if they don't go down, who knows? Maybe this is a 55, 56, 58 win season, and they're the two seed. So, but suspending that for a moment, as much as we have all loved, if you're really a Knicks fan, this renaissance year, and even last year, Randall, Moose, I mean, time's ticking. He has not been cleared for contact. He's got a lot of rust to shake off. You think he makes it back?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I raised an eyebrow like 3 weeks ago when he met with the media and said surgery was still not off the table. I mean, that to me, if you're a Knicks fan, would say to yourself, okay, well, I don't know if I'm necessarily expecting Julius Randle back here anytime soon. And I think Randle's a warrior. I've spent a lot of time defending him. You know, last year was hurt in the playoffs. He's a Thibodeau guy. He kind of carries out the marching orders. He doesn't believe in, you know, load management or any of that kind of utter nonsense that has overtaken the NBA. You know, he's going to lay it on the line every time he takes on the court. I feel bad because, you know, he started that process. Do I think he's going to get back this year? I think by the day I become less and less confident that you see Julius Randle back. I really do because, mm-hmm, let's be perfect. Time is ticking. What, are you going to roll him back into the playoffs? Like,
you can't do that. He's got to get back before the regular season.
You mentioned it. You got 12 games to go.
Yep.
So how big of a runway does he need in order to get back on the court to be able to find himself to where then he becomes the player that you can lean on, mm-hmm, to a certain extent? We all understand it's Jalen Brunson's team, but still a guy that you lean on come playoff time to be the guy that was an all-star in two of the last 3 years.
I thought for sure he was going to find a way to will himself back. I'm less convinced today as I've ever been. And listen, again, the timing
is what matters. But that changes everything.
I know it does.
I mean, Brandon, that changes everything.
In terms of what they could do?
Well, yeah. In terms of what they can accomplish. Like, so Ananobi returns, then he has a flare-up with the elbow once again. Well, it's great that Mitchell Robinson's been cleared and has been taken on contact. Great, but Robinson's also like a walking injury. Every time he's back on the court, you wonder if he's going to be able to stay on the court. And what changes everything, as good of a year as this has been, in a strange way, you're like, well, what could it have been? Because you're not wrong in your assessment. And they were, if they stayed healthy and whole, they were on the periphery of being the number two seed behind the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. And now that's no longer part of the equation. And now if you don't get any of those players back consistently to be there for Thibodeau night in and night out, well, then you're looking at a ceiling to this team of maybe potentially not even getting to an Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I mean, without Randall, I don't know how you do get there. I wouldn't put it past them just because his team's so resilient. But what this does is this just, again, underscores how amazing Tom Thibodeau is. He's not Red Holtzman. He's not Pat Riley. Okay.
Oh, I love him.
I mean, I love him. I love him because this team is ready to play every night and all the different. They've had like three or four versions of the Knicks this year.
And it's really, we as Knicks fans been watching this for a long time where there's been ineptitude, where there's been a disconnect between the front office and the coaching staff and players on the court, where it's been more at negative headlines than there has been positive, where they've been mocked out. And it's been tough being a Knicks fan since the Ewing days. It really has been.
It's been awful.
It's been awful, right? Aside from Carmelo, the 54-win
season.
Everyone talks about the 54-win season.
Like they won the championship.
Right, outside of that, I mean, Marbury and interview that he did with Bruce Beck. Remember that interview? So you had to go through all that. Now it's so refreshing because Leon Rose and Thibodeau were on the same page, and he's given him players that are not only good, but the Knicks have built a culture within that building, and he's given them players that buy into what Tom Thibodeau is preaching.
Yeah, that's important stuff. I'm happy
that's
to throw
important.
That in.
Makes sense.
So let me get the executive and the coach. They work in harmony. Ooh, what a concept. Wow. And it really has been fun. We'll see where it goes. But, you know, that clock is moving. And if Randall's going to get back, he's going to have to make it soon. Let's see. 877-337-6666. Also, listen, I think that the Yankees offense, even with the holes, and of course there's holes in the rotation, I think that they can hit their way to a World Series, at least a World Series appearance. Moose not feeling it quite as much. Dave's in Manhattan, BT and Sal. Moose sitting in. Dave, what's up, buddy?
Hey, nice to hear your show, BT and Moose. BT, I don't know what you're drinking, but the Yankees are going nowhere with the pitching staff they have. You're trying to tell me that Nestor Cortez, who's starting opening day, is Andy Pettit?
I'm not trying to tell you anything, except that I think the Yankees are going to just smash people offensively. Let me ask you, Dave, I'm going to ask you a question. I'll let you get some more stuff out as well. Who led the American League in ERA a year ago? Do you know what team it was? Take a guess. It was a non-playoff team. Let's start with that. Seattle. So there's not always a correlation. Okay. It's a different game.
I understand, but Seattle didn't have the hitters the Yankees have, so you need both.
Yeah.
But
well, advantage Yankees. That's my point.
Pitching is the main thing. And also, you know, I listen to these rumors from the end of the World Series till opening day, and they're engaged with this one, they're engaged with Snell, with Montgomery. Then they're going to tell you we can't afford them because it costs $2 for every dollar that we spend. So don't make a fool out of the fans. You know, you're not going to sign it because you have too high a payroll.
That's so
they're
probably
engaged with everyone. Yeah. How are they going to pay?
Dave. All right, first of all, now here's the thing.
I got to be honest, I didn't expect Dave to
neither
say
did
that,
I.
That sometimes you expect it when you go to a call.
Yeah.
I did not expect that from Dave from Manhattan.
I really did not. But think about this, because the luxury threshold, I'm with you, Moose, has been brought up a lot with the Yankees, right? Obviously, up a lot. Yes. And for those who want to hate, or at least, you know, point what they perceive to be, you know, a less than all-in approach, which I do understand. I do think something is also missed. Like, what if Yamamoto took the deal? What if Blake Snell took the $150 million? They would have flown and soared past that Steve Cohen threshold. So they were willing to do it with certain spots.
Right, but they're still in on, and they tried to finagle the dollars with Blake Snell.
Yep.
They tried to work with Scott Boras to get a deal done before he signed the two-year, $62 million deal with the San Francisco Giants. They've re-engaged, I don't know what level, on Jordan Montgomery. That, to me, says a lot, because the Yankees look at this rotation, and they know everything there is to know about Gerrit Cole from a physical standpoint. They're hoping to have him back by, you know, early June. The Yankees look at this starting rotation and think, well, we're not good enough. And there was a point, Brandon, where I said to myself, like, they don't need to be great now. Like, the lineup can make up for the deficiencies in April and May and June. But at some point, you have to get uncomfortable. At some point, you're going to have to pay a price in order to go out there and win. And I think the Yankees are going to have to hit that point. And they didn't do it in free agency, and I don't think they're going to sign Jordan Montgomery. But at some point during this year, when it comes to the MLB trade deadline, I think they're going to see him go out there and add a starter because they need to.
First of all, if I'm Jordan Montgomery, first of all, you traded me. Then you basically dissed me. And now, out of desperation, given Gerrit Cole's situation and some other, you know, holes that certainly perceived holes, and based on what Rodon did a year ago, a real hole until it proves otherwise, I'm not giving you a deal. I'm waiting. I would, if I'm Montgomery, not the Yankees, if I'm Montgomery, I'd say, screw you. You traded me for a guy who was always, the guy that you dealt me for was in a boot. I'm a lefty pitcher who had great success elsewhere, won a World Series, was one of the main reasons why, and I'm going to come and help you out and give you a deal at 80 cents on the dollar because of Gerrit Cole's injury? No. You're going to pay me $1.30 on the dollar, otherwise I'm going to ignore you. I would bend the Yankees over if I'm Jordan Montgomery.
Well, if you're Jordan Montgomery, what about if they do? What about if they do pay that price? What about if they do pay that tax? What about if the Yankees
happy to be home then?
Okay, that's exactly right. If they offer you the most amount of money,
oh, I'm back.
You're back, yeah. Right? You'll let bygones be bygones. You'll let what Cashman had to say after you got traded to St. Louis put all that aside because you know what? They're going to pay you the most money. I don't disagree. Like, I don't think the Yankees, I think the Yankees are going to have to overwhelm him with a financial package that's better than any other team because I think if it's equal, mm-hmm. I think he'll probably go someplace else.
So do I. That was my point. Yep, no doubt. 877-337-6666. Let's scoot up to the Bronx. What's going on, Jerry? BT and Sound BT. On the fan. What up, Jer?
BT and Mark. What's happening, Mark?
What's up, Jerry? How you doing, bud?
Pretty good. Enjoy your day with I was going to say South BT.
Yeah, it's great. It's happy to be
have
here.
Fun.
Yeah.
Exactly. BT, let me tell you, I usually call every day. Oh, at least I try every day. Mm-hmm. And last time I called, you really kind of bothered me a little bit. You hung up right after I said $20 million for Blake Snell. What I was trying to say until you hung up on me, and at the end of 2 minutes that you abused me, you said, Jerry, we love you. So I kind of, like, forgave you.
Wait, I abused you? What do you mean? That's usually yeah. Sal's department. What did I do
wait,
to you?
Wait a minute. I'm going to remind you.
Go ahead.
Right after I said $20 million there, and you said, Blake Snell is never taking $20 million. What I was trying to tell you, with incentives and with signing bonuses, he deferred the second half of his. He's only getting $15 million, okay, and it's deferred the other 2 years. It's deferred for like 2026, I think.
Well, he's not going to see that because he's going to opt out. But keep going. Yep.
No. He's going to see that. He's just not going to see it if he opts out. But that's an incentive for him to stay.
Right, you're talking about the other 16 million is deferred. He's
exactly,
getting the $15 million this year, right?
So what I'm saying is this pitching staff scares me. It's not a playoff pitching staff, regardless of how you pitch it. All I'm telling you is that it's not. The deal that he made for what's his name in the outfield? Oh my God, Verdugo! That he gave up those prospects. He could have gotten Corbin Burns. He would look nice as at our opening day pitcher. Okay. He made a lot of mistakes, and the reason that we're in this situation is because Cashman put us there. All right? So the way they want to spin it on the other station, it doesn't matter.
The other station? Who cares? There's no other station.
What station? The other sports radio. I love you guys.
Please.
You know I call all the time, BET. Come on.
No, so I know you do, Jer.
Yeah. And that's all I'm saying is that we made a lot of bad moves. This is not a playoff pitching staff, BT.
Well, Jerry, here's the thing. When you put it like that, thanks for the call there, buddy. Yeah, Jerry. Jerry always calls. I'm not looking to bag the guy. I don't really remember going hard at him the other day, but if I did, I guess I did. It's not about me saying that the staff is amazing. It's not. Everybody knows that. What I am saying is that the game's changed. So for me, there's certainly during the regular season, there's less emphasis on the starting staff. And as long as you have an elite offense, which I think the Yankees will, and an elite bullpen, which I think the Yankees will, you're going to win 90-something games, the requisite number, and you're going to be in the playoffs. And then let's roll the dice, and you can make a trade late July, get Cole back, and you can win a World Series.
Yeah, with the addition of another starter. I don't. Everything that you said, I agree with. Right up until the end. Yeah. They need to add another starting pitcher, and I think the fact that they were in on Cole even after before the listen, there was the conversations they had with Blake Snell even before Cole went out. they were still talking with Blake Snell.
Oh, yeah.
They believe, they know as an organization that they're a starter short. Now it's the case of, well, Snell's gone. I don't think Jordan Montgomery's coming here. So what trade, who shakes free and who's potentially available come the MLB trade deadline?
Well, I don't know for sure. Somebody always does.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not throwing that out there posing, but are you willing then at that stage to go all in? Because you can't dip, you're only potentially going to have Soto here for a year. Let's not build it out to that this is a 5 or 6 year plan. It's a reaction to what happened last year going 82-80. You want to try and win a World Series. Cashman was defiant at the GM meetings when he met with the media. Remember, he did
what
that
else
presser.
Is
new? Right, exactly right. Call everybody
scrappy
out.
Scrappy Cashman.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Downplaying the analytics department. Everything that you heard from
fighting
Cashman.
Fighting everybody.
Right. Go win a World Series. Go be the Yankees. You know what the Yankees do? They go out there and get the big-time pitchers that they need, the finishing pieces at the end to help this team win a World
but
Series.
But, when you say go be the Yankees, and that's something that I've yelled for years, and I guess I yelled
they don't like being the Yankees anymore.
Well,
they want to be something different. And you know what? When the Yankees were the evil empire, they were setting a tone in Major League Baseball. Now they want to try and be the Tampa Bay Rays with money. That's what the Yankees want to try
baseball
and be.
Baseball was different, and they haven't adjusted. They've had an antiquated philosophy that's really rendered them a secondary team, a secondary level team last couple of years. They have not evolved, I think. But to me, we can throw the arrows at Cashman, and Lord knows I have
the Astros.
Sling them. Chasing the Astros, understood that as well. The Rays seem to do business better. The Orioles obviously are extending a ton of young stable. The Stars got it. But to me, I mean, how about Hal remembers what it's like to be the owner of the Yankees? We focus on Cashman,
right,
which is gratifying for some reason. Like we just hit him with our ire, but I've also made sure over the years to get after Hal, because if Hal,
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, but not enough people go to Hal.
Yeah, I agree with you. He does not want to be his dad. He's talked about it. And now listen, there were positives and negatives. If you're old enough to remember,
George is a pain in the ass. Everybody romanticizes what he was.
The Lion of the Bronx, everything, the Bill Mann book. Like, so there were positives. George was banished from Major League Baseball, and the Yankees were built by Watson, Cashman, and Stick Michael, right? So that's where that dynastic run came in the late 90s. George didn't play a massive role in that, but the credo was sent down from him about World Series or bust in any given year. Jeter talks about it time and time again. The Yankees, instead of just being themselves, they wanted to try and transform and be something different, and they kind of lost their identity a little bit over the years. My whole point is now, if you're really going to go all in on this season, and I believe they're a starter short, there was one out there that was just going to cost you cash. It was going to have to pay a hefty sum because it was going to cost you 110% over $297 million, but didn't have to give up Spencer Jones, would have lost the draft choice. I get it, but you're trying to win a World Series.
I hear you.
Brandon, it's been a long time since they had a parade down in the Kennedy Field.
I was there in 2009.
Now,
I
Matt Fans are going to say, we haven't celebrated since 86, but still, it's been a while for the Yankees.
But it looked like they won something over the weekend when they got J.D. Martinez. I saw a little champagne popping. They got the DH. We got a little Met stuff up there as well. Hey, by the way, Viento sent down. How about, not a surprise, but...
No. He's that's a triple just, A and a half ball player.
That's exactly what he is, a 4A ball player. Good move, good pivot by the Mets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
877-337-6666. Question for you.
Yeah.
And it's very open-ended, very, very vague. You can go whichever way you want.
Okay.
More likelihood, higher level of probability in your opinion. Uh-oh. I'll answer it as well. I'll let you go first. What's so funny?
Nothing. I'm just joking.
The Yankees underachieve.
Yeah.
Or the Mets overachieve. More
likely is the Mets overachieve.
Why?
First off, I think there's just little to no expectations coming into the year. I think it changed a little bit with JD Martinez. I think there's been frustration from Met fans that Cohen has not spent. Frustration with the wait-and-see approach that David Stearns has taken on with Pete Alonso. They didn't have a DH. They do now. It's going to take Martinez a little bit of time to get himself up to, you know, but he's a professional bat, had a really good year last year, hit .271 for the Dodgers, hit 25-plus home runs, and provides protection for Alonso. I think when you look at the starting rotation, it's filled with a lot of what-ifs outside now with a banged-up Kodai Senga, Quintana, you know, Luis Severino, Sean Manaea, Tyler McGill. When you look at it, I think the bullpen's going to be rock solid. Hauser as well. You know, the return of Edwin Diaz is going to help, but I think it's just... I think they have a chance to supersede expectations. I think their win total is set at 80.5.
That's what it is, 80.5.
Yankees are about
93.5 for those.
Yankees are going to be even though I have concerns as we talked about throughout the course of the show about the starting rotation. I don't have concerns that the Yankees are going to win games in the regular season. To me, it's all about what this team is going to become October. For the Mets, they had all the expectations going into last year. They won 75 games. There is not that high anticipation this year, and I think if things work out really well, I think the lineup could be really productive. Healthy Marte, Nimmo, Lindor last year played with a hurt elbow.
Alvarez year two.
Alonso contract year.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they get at third base, McNeil, if he goes back to being the kind of all-around hitter instead of trying to launch the ball over the fence. Now you throw J.D. Martinez, and I think the bullpen's really good.
Yeah, I do too. That was some of the early tinkering that Stearns did, and they added all these arms to the bullpen. You know, for me to answer that, if you just tuned in, I asked Moose, what's the higher level of probability, in his opinion, Yankees underachieve, whatever that perception might be. I mean, you could literally attach 93.5 wins. That's Vegas' total. But, I mean, maybe a bit more of a nebulous form, however you interpret the Yankees' high level, or the Mets overachieving. Now, I don't think there's any way that the Yankees underachieve because I do realize that they're flawed without Cole, but I do think they'll hit the crap out of it and outslug teams, certainly during the regular season. So I would have to say, and this is probably going to surprise a lot of Mets fans, I actually think there's a better chance that the Mets overachieve. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Than the Yankees underachieving here. And the funny thing is when you talk about the construction of the Yankees and why it was so important to get Soto and all the other things that they've done, at least so far going into the season, we talk about the limited, whatever remains of Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole's prime. That prime window, you got to try to maximize it. Well, there's more guys on the Mets who are making big money that are long-term commitments that are also in their prime, whether it's Lindor, whether it's Pete. Of course, you've got to get the contract done. McNeil's got a couple of years to go. Nimmo signed an 8-year contract. So their core is going to be here for a while. And their core is not young either. So somebody like J.D. Martinez, who costs nothing. Now, this should have happened a month ago, but they did the right thing.
Time helped.
And I do think the Mets will be a lot more fun to watch than I did maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Time helped Martinez. And then the Mets be able to get him at the number that they wanted and the number that they were comfortable with because there wasn't that great marketplace and they were kind of waiting and taking the wait-and-see approach and they finally got the guy that they had targeted.
All right, let's go. It's almost time.
Before we get back
time.
To the phones, can I ask you, when do you start doing your squats during the show? Because you drop down, start doing push-ups during the course of the break. I was wondering, when do you start doing jumping jacks? Do you do
these
squats?
These pencil legs, I should start doing some squats. Jeez. No, I don't do squats during the break. Tiki does. Tiki does planks. Tiki does, does all sorts of, I don't know what he's doing. I do the push-ups for blood flow, my back.
That's great. Really it's amazing. We're having a conversation during the course of the break. Commercials are playing. All of a sudden, BT's on the doing push-ups.
Jeez,
I did about 50 push-ups in the span of a two-minute break.
Sometimes. I do. Do them every day. Not that it's really showing. Jerry's in Comac, BT and Sal on the fan. Jerry, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Jerry.
Great conversation. I want to take your enthusiasm BT one step further. I think it's going to be a Subway World Series. I really do.
Oh boy,
I could see the I could see the Mets overachieving. They have a great camaraderie there between the Latinos and the Anglos there. I think Mendoza and Lindor is going to get them all juiced up, and I think the Mets are going to really overachieve. You got that fan duel. I think guys should be betting on that fan duel with the Mets going over 80.
Now, Jared, listen, I do think... Let me attack the Mets here for a sec, Jared. I'm not going to hang up on you, but I want to have a conversation with you. So, I do think that there's a chance that the Mets overachieve more so than the Yankees underachieve. So I'm okay with that, that I'm a little more bullish on the Mets than I've been. But for the Mets to get to a World Series, not that you can't get there via the wild card. Look at last year with Arizona. I get that. But, I mean, the Braves are going to win 103 games, dude. And the Phillies just much better. They're the third best team.
Diaz is back.
Diaz is great. There's no doubt.
You got to have leads.
We talked about questions with the Yankees starting rotation about potentially winning in October. What about when you look at this Mets starting rotation? Bullpen's going to be great. Are they going to be gassed come July and August from overuse because of the lack of length that you're going to get from some of your starters in that rotation? I mean, that's the... Like, I think the with Martinez, I think it's conceivable. I think they're going to overachieve. I'm with you. I think if everything goes right, they can contend for a wild card spot in the National League. And I think that would be a really successful year number one for David Stearns. And then you get Pete Alonso locked up to a long-term deal, and you get super aggressive. Like, Cohen, like, this whole idea, Met fans get a little concerned about, well, when's Cohen going to spend? Don't worry. Like, Cohen doesn't like to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's worth $20 billion. Like, he likes to win. He likes to win a lot of things in life. Like, Steve Cohen wants to build up around Citi Field, make that a destination point, no doubt about it. But he also wants to point and understands the value of putting a winning product on the field year in and year out.
No doubt. I mean, he's not a dummy. He's looking to, he's going to pounce when it's time to pounce. Kyle's up in Newburgh. Kyle, what's going on? BT and Sal show.
Kyle, Brandon, how you doing, brother? How's everything, man?
I am good. Kyle, say hi to Moose. He's sitting in today.
Yeah, I see you sitting in. Moose, I did want to say one thing to you. Moose, I've been such a big fan of yours over the years, and I watch you every night on Pix 11 at 7 o'clock.
Beautiful.
I got to meet your partner there, Nelson, down at Yankees spring training camp. They invited us down. I got to meet Aaron Judge. He signed my son's stuff, and Nelson wound up signing my son's Disney shirt. So I really appreciate you guys at night. You guys do a great job.
Oh, thank you, Kyle. Yeah, Figgy's a great guy, no doubt. Love working with him day in and day out.
My Yankee point, Brandon and Moose, is the thing is that the way I see about the lineup is you're right, Brandon. You're right that the Yankees, they got a great lineup. Soto's going to make everybody better. But I think about all those Yankee teams of the 2000s and 2000 and after the 2009 World Series. Jeter, you got Matsui, you got Posada, you got so many great hitters, guys that should be in the Hall of Fame and guys that are in the Hall of Fame. That team won one World Series. This Yankee lineup is not those guys. And, you know, like Moose's point about being in the playoffs, those guys died in the playoffs as well.
Now, Kyle, hold on a second, Kyle. Who was the best player on that Yankee team? You're talking about the A-Rod version or the earlier iterations, 96?
I'm talking about the A-Rod version.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, hold on. So, A-Rod or Soto? I'll take Soto.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right, Frank.
Matsui or Judge? I'll take Judge.
Okay.
Or probably at that point to Shera, but I'll still take Judge. See what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
Now, there may have been a little bit more length, maybe, but
yes.
The star power, I mean, you're coming out with the heavy artillery. I mean, this is like, it's like Ruth and Garrick.
Yeah, you're right, Brandon. I mean, I see your point, but those two guys, you know, they can pitch around those guys, and then what's the rest of the guys going to do for us, you know?
Yeah, so. Well, I hear you. Thanks for the call, Moose. You can pitch around one guy. Have fun pitching around two, especially when they're back-to-back.
No, it's a great way to start a lineup when you're looking at two of the top five hitters in the entire sport. But I think when you're looking at the context of the entire team, I mean, there's still guys in that lineup that got to prove it. Rizzo, Stan, to an extent that this stages of their career, that's what you're looking at. In 2024, this version of both of those players, the upside when you look at Volpe, LeMahieu's all of a sudden hurt once again. You know, you'll see what you get from the catcher spot. I think Glaber's going to have a good offensive year. I don't have any doubt about that. And he's a better player playing second base offensively than he was playing at shortstop. So, but any lineup that you're starting takes a lot of the onus and the pressure. And should one of those guys go out due to injury, the other guy's capable of carrying it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing, too. Because we saw last year, when you took Judge out of that lineup for the Yankees, that lineup was not necessarily threatening. I'm not telling you.
They were unwatchable. Yankees were unwatchable.
Right, but now that you have two of them.
That's right.
Now, if one of them should get hurt.
Somebody's going to carry the mail for a couple weeks.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. That's where you have a little bit of insurance should one of them go down to injury.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. Moose is sitting in for Sal. Good luck with that packing, buddy. Hopefully you're hanging in there. 1146 on the Fan, 877-337.
Comes across very genuine.
66-66. Well, hey, Alice, I've been there. You've been there.
Yeah, of
You've
course.
Moved.
It stinks. It's terrible.
Oof. It's rough.
Things get broken, misplaced. Boxes sit there. You have to unpack everything, get through everything.
Gosh.
And then, you know, he's got a young daughter throwing multiple kids. Yeah, it's a disaster.
I think it's almost easier, though. She's still two. So I think it's easier moving when you have a two-year-old rather than, like, if you have, like, a five- and a seven-year-old and they're running around. The two-year-olds you can kind of still put in the corner and, hey, just stay there with Bobby
right,
Daddy.
Right, right, yes,
leave
yes.
us alone for a couple hours.
Yes,
you know?
Rather than, like, be entertained.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. They're still very self-reliant on us. Eventually, we could say, go find your own way, but you can't do it when they're two. All right, Mets lineup today. You ready? You think this is going to be the opening day lineup? Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, McNeil. He's been in there in the four hole. Marte, Stewart, Alvarez, seventh. That's interesting. Beatty and Bader. And this strikes me as something, but I obviously pitch him. This strikes me as something that they could roll out until they get JD set, but I don't love Alvarez hitting seventh, and I don't love McNeil hitting fourth. So I don't really love this lineup, but it seems like they're pretty married to this one, at least going into the season, Moose.
Yeah, you've seen it. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I would probably move Alvarez up to six, drop Stewart down to seven. Beatty, I don't think, deserves to move up, and Bader is, I think, better as that nine off where you potentially – you could have that double leadoff where, you know, 9-1, Bader to Nimmo, then to Lindor, Alonso. But I think JD Martinez is obviously going to change everything. You throw him, he's going to be your cleanup hitter, hitting right behind Pete Alonso, and then move everyone else down a peg.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if Marte's rocking.
Marte's an interesting guy coming off the two groin injuries that he suffered last year. We talk about guys flying under the radar a little bit for the Yankees. Now the Marte, you go back a couple years ago when the Mets won 100-plus games, was really, really
good. He's good.
Plus defender in right field, too. When he's healthy, he's
productive.
He's
a good player.
Yes.
He's a good ball player. Was this year three of the four-year deal?
Yes.
All right. Let me get Jay in Fort Lee with BT and Sal. Jay, what's going on, Jay?
Hey, BT. BT, you might not know this, but Moose knows this. This is the number one Moose fan from Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Yes.
All right.
So now that we got that out of the way, you guys sound great together.
Thanks,
you know, you think maybe as the first couple months of the season go by, Yankee management might be looking over their shoulder a little bit to check to see what Severino's doing with the Mets?
Might be. I mean, you know, $13 million on a one-year deal for the Mets. I actually think Severino's going to pitch real well. I've said that now for a couple of weeks. I think he's going to do well.
I'm going to root for Sevy, but there does come a point in time where a change of scenery, I think, is best for everyone involved. And I think for
Severino, no doubt.
I think he needed to get away from the Yankees, and I think the Yankees needed to get rid of the headache that Luis Severino. Not saying that he can't be productive or that he can't have a bounce back year, but I don't know if it would have happened wearing a Yankee uniform. I really don't, and I think it was good for him to get away, go to another organization, didn't have to change cities, now pitching in Queens instead of the Bronx. I think he needed his change of scenery as well. I think sometimes you see that in sports. I think it's to the benefit of the player.
No doubt. I'll be rooting for him. All right. So, you know, the real question, and BG made a good point, you know, about they could be. And I love the fact that you said they were unwatchable. For the most part, offensively been unwatchable for a couple of years now, you know, except for Judge. So here's my question, you guys. Is it possible, and I hate to be negative because I love the two of them, but is it possible, at least for this year, that you're never going to see prime Judge and Cole? I mean, Judge doesn't look right quite yet. He was hitting a couple of hard balls the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's possible, then maybe this is not the all-in season the Yankees management was saying they're going to give us.
Well, then you get back to the question we had before. Could it be a disaster?
Well,
if you don't have Judge and Cole, together.
At prime.
Right, and pitching and hitting to the best of their capabilities, then it's going to be a lost season. I mean, that's too much to overcome even with it, even with this lineup, even with a healthy Juan Soto you're not going to reach your goals. You're really not. You're banking on the idea that Cole's going to miss the first 2 months. He's going to get back. Then he's going to be healthy, pitching to the level he was a year ago. Mm-hmm. And Judge now with Soto in this lineup is going to be the hitter that we have seen when healthy. Always the question has been about health. It's never been about talent with Aaron Judge, especially in the regular season. He's been remarkably productive. He's got to stay in the lineup.
I mean, he's got to. We can do a best case. We can do a worst case. Generally, the answer is probably somewhere in between. But I'm going to give you a potential worst case situation for the Yankees. And obviously, that would include Judge being banged up. Rizzo is, by the way, Rizzo last year was playing real well before he got hurt. Then he got concussed. And he got hurt the other day. And he was having a good spring, too. But if Rizzo is hurt, really hurt now, or just, on the other side, you got a problem at first base. Because I don't know who plays. If Rizzo goes down, I don't know who plays first base. You get over to second base. Well, Gleyber Torres, I like him. I don't love him in terms of giving him a big contract. But I do think he'll perform well, and I do think he's a good player. But how does he compartmentalize that? The mental stuff in a contract year. He wants to stay here. He's got to know on some level that they're not driven to keep him for big money. Does he have a great contract year, or does he get in his own head? Volpe, we could point to growth in year two. What if there's not much? Third base. All right. Right now, your starting third baseman is DJ LeMahieu. He's probably about the 13th or 14th best third baseman of baseball when he's even healthy.
Then I'll be looking forward to football season.
yeah, man, I'll get taken from underneath.
By the way, you mentioned Rizzo in the lineup today for the Yankees at DH.
Yeah, that's good to see.
Dealt with the lat, but he's back in the lineup.
That's good to see. Listen, Trevino's okay, whatever. I do think Wells will hit. I do. I don't know if he's going to be able to handle the defense, although it's a bit better than advertised. But you have to still say until you see it that there's a bit of a question behind the dish. These are all worst-case situations. The staff, obviously. Stroman's second half was terrible last year. Rodon was a complete dog last year. It looked like they didn't belong here. And then
kisses to the crowd.
Thank God that was on the road. That was in Anaheim. At least he was shielded a little bit from getting hit with a tomato or something. So I understand the reluctance, the reticence to stamp the Yankees a 95-win team, World Series contender. But as long as everything doesn't go wrong, like even if a couple of things go wrong, they're built to sustain and at least to plow through a few impediments. They are.
No, there's no doubt. But here's where the motivation should come into play if you're Cashman and if you're Hal Steinbrenner is not only are, say, you look across the country and you look at what the Dodgers are in the National League, but if you stay in the American League, the Orioles are not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yep.
And their young talent is unreal. And they're going to learn from their failures last year in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And they added a guy like Corbin Burns, and they are going to be a pain in the rear end, just like the Tampa Bay Rays are a pain in the rear end. The Baltimore Orioles are going to be a pain in the rear end for a long time.
Yeah, but they're going to have to learn, and I trust that they will, but they're going to have to learn now to how to handle being the hunted a little bit.
That's true.
It's a different step.
But I'll gamble with that talent they have.
Me too. Oh, me too. No, they're loaded, dude. They have good players. They're good. Vinny's up in Poughkeepsie. Vince, BT and Sal. What up, Vin?
Hey, guys. Got to bring it back to the Knicks a second. BT, do you watch pregame Knicks?
Do I or did I? Specific game.
Do you? Have the last couple games, have you watched the pregame of the Knicks?
I generally watch the pregame. I did not watch it the other night. I did not watch against the Nets. No, the afternoon game. No.
So the last two pregames, when Pito and Han are talking, behind them, I see Randall working out.
Yeah, he's been on the court before. Yeah. Yep. He's not clear for contact.
Well, why is he shooting before these games? I see him. I saw him yesterday or two when the game was, out there shooting. If he's not coming back,
I'll tell you why, Vince, I'll tell you why. Because going out there and going through drills and starts and stops and conditioning and getting up a couple of hundred jump shots, low post moves, pump fakes, footwork, that's different than having somebody tug at your elbow, your shoulder inadvertently and have it come back out of its socket.
Contact.
You're done. That's the problem.
But why is he shooting if he's not coming back?
Because when he's shooting, I'm not saying he's definitely not coming back. I'm saying for the first time, I'm starting to think he might not.
I think they have a game. They know he's coming back.
All right.
I think it's all planned.
They might.
Because why would my game point again? Why would he be out if he's not coming back? Why is he shooting before the game?
You're not hearing us, Vince. Take it away, Vince. Thanks for the call, Vince.
He's working out because he's a professional athlete. That's why he's shooting the basketball. That's what he does for a living. So he's trying to present the option and maintaining being in shape.
Correct.
So the thing that you want to see. Last week there was a report Mitchell Robinson is in five-on-five drills and he's taking contact. That is a positive sign. You saw that with OG Anunoby. That's a positive sign before he made his return and then he went out again. That's the next step for Julius Randle. When he is taking five-on-five, playing contact, playing basketball, taking contact to that shoulder, and it is holding up, then Julius Randle will be back. Just because a guy is shooting a basketball doesn't necessarily mean he's on his way or he's close to getting back on the court, especially with the fact of dealing with the injury he's had. And the Knicks have not come out and said surgery is completely off the table. Julius Randle a month ago didn't say surgery was off the table.
He didn't, and that's where some antennas went up. I was less concerned about that just because I never really fully ruled it out anyway because it was a... Boy, that's a tough injury. It's a shooting arm. I mean, it obviously takes away physicality. There's so many problems with that. But the thing that all you have to know, Vince, is this. There's always a gradual progression for a pro athlete. I mean, you know, if you're a pitcher and you've got an elbow or shoulder issue, you've got to progress from flat ground to the mound. If you're a hitter, think about Aaron Judge last week or so when he was off, you know, T-work to live pitching. Same with a basketball player. You got to go from shooting drills to being cleared for live contact.
Right.
Now, the problem, though, Moose, like, if he comes back, right, and I'm still not sure if he does, but if he does, and I hope he does, and something goes wrong, and he's got to go to surgery, now next year is compromised. Because
for sure.
You talk about the rotator cuff, that is a very tough thing to operate. It's not like the elbow. The shoulder's different.
No, it is. I mean, the positive is okay, does it become a pain threshold thing because it's his non-shooting hand? You know, it's his right shoulder, he's a lefty, right? So does it become an issue where you look at Julius Randle, can he play through it? He's a remarkably tough guy. Is it a case where there's a pain threshold deal or he has to be a little bit uncomfortable? I don't know that answer. I'm not an NBA player. I've never went through this injury, never went through this any way, shape, or form. But listen, Julius is going to maintain shape. He's going to keep himself in shape. The next step in the process here is you want to make sure when he gets on the court that even if he's not 100%, if he's 85, 90%, and when he steps on the court, he feels confident that he can play this game at a high level.
877-337-6666. BT and Sound on the Fan coming up. We'll get you to the crown, take you with the top story of the day. And yep, bottom line on Randle, he's a real one. And if this guy can will himself back and just suck down some paint, you know, some Motrin, whatever, just to fight through
it. Well, BT, you saw it last year. I don't mean to cut you off. You saw it last year.
He's
and everyone
playing.
Got over him. He was nowhere close to 100%
wasn't.
Healthy.
But he is an old school soul. He's not, you know, he's just a grinder, plays 40 minutes a night. He's a throwback. So he's not a perfect player, but I think the real Knicks fans know that this guy's doing everything possible to get back. We'll see if his body allows him to do that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.